And so here's what's actually in the computator. And so it tells you the different sets of comparisons that are available, the different critical p-values, but that's just there if someone asks or if you need it for something, because you get the p-value and the effect size when you do the pairwise follow-up using the computator. I'd like to tell you that I wrote the computator for you because of my affection for you and the expensive time that you have, but nope, I wrote them for me. If I have to do something by hand more than about twice, I grab the computator and add a page. I don't like doing stuff by hand any more than you. Same story about effect sizes as before. When you've got two groups, when you've got more than two groups, you can get effect size for the overall analysis. Just make sure that you change this. Most uses of the computator are for pairwise comparisons, so that shows up as one. You need to remember to change that to whatever the degrees of freedom is for the number of conditions. Same caveat as before. You can only compare that effect size to another chi-square that had exactly the same set of conditions and exactly the same dependent variable. So the most useful pairwise, the most useful effect sizes are going to be the effect sizes for pairwise comparisons. Those are what test your hypotheses. Those are what you're going to focus on for tests of replication, convergence, programmatic research, generalization, important stuff like that. Power analysis. For both ANOVA and for chi-square, here's the thing. Anytime you have an effect size, you can do a power analysis. Right? Because that's the whole idea of an a priori power analysis. Take the effect size, your estimated effect size, and you figure out what sample size should I use to run a study. No problem. Post hoc power analyses, you take the effect size from the study, you calculate the power so you can figure out what the type 2 error rate is. An estimate of the chances that you screwed up by missing an effect. When you have a multiple condition design, however, you now have two layers of power that you have to worry about. You have to worry about the power for the omnibus effect, and you also have to worry about the power for the pairwise follow-ups. Now remember that I've said a scad of times that research hypotheses are tested typically, most directly, with pairwise comparisons. So it's the power of the pairwise comparisons that you care about, not the power of the overall test. Because, simple math, if you have enough power for your pairwise comparisons, you have enough power for the omnibus. But here's the thing. Think of power as a magnifying glass. You're trying to read some small print. How much power do I need? How much magnification do I need? I need as much magnification as I need for the smallest print. Because if I can see the smallest print, I'm going to be able to see all the rest of it. Now, why are you talking about print? It's a metaphor. If you have enough power for your smallest pairwise effect size, you have enough power for all of the rest of them and the omnibus. Does that make sense? So you look at your results, and you don't look at your overall results. You look at any pairwise comparison that you are hypothesizing a significant difference. You take all the ones that you're hypothesizing a significant difference and find the one with the smallest expected effect size. You do the power analysis for that. If you have enough power for that, you have enough power for all the others and for the omnibus. Make sense? Let's watch that happen. What the power table gives you, it calls S. Now, when we had two condition ANOVAs and chi-squares, S was everybody in the study. What S really means is the number of participants in that pairwise comparison. N is the number of participants in each condition. So N is S divided by 2. Big N is the number of participants in the total study, which is the number of people in each times the number of conditions. So we got three different how many's that we have to keep track of. When somebody says how many's in your design, well, wait, what do you mean? I've got K conditions. I've got N people in each condition. So I've got N big N people in the whole study. And I've got S for each pairwise comparison. And so let's say that the smallest pairwise effect in my three group study is 0.25. I go to the power table with 0.25, an 80% power, and I find an S of 120. That means there's 120 people that should be in that two-condition pairwise comparison. We're not done yet. N is the number of people in each condition of that pairwise comparison. So if there's 120 of them in the two conditions, there's 60 in each. Finally, how many people in my study? Well, I said it's a three-condition design with 60 people in each condition. I need 180 people. Make sense? Now, sometimes your smallest pairwise effect is going to be so small that your sample size requirement is going to be mondo, untenable, unavailable given your resources of time and cost. This is where it gets ugly. This is where you have to think about whether or not you have the resources to chase a particular effect with enough power to make it worthwhile. There are two general forms of thinking about this. The one says, look, I can't get a reasonable power on a significance test comparing this condition to others because it's just not that big of a difference. So I'm just going to not run that condition and put my resources into the other conditions, maybe an extra replication, things like that. The other approach says, I know I'm kind of screwed on the power for the finding significant effect, but I'm going to run the condition so that I have a better idea, a real data-based estimate in my lab of the size of that effect. Because sometimes you discover that the effect size isn't as small as you thought it was, or that you can think of a variation on the condition that gives you a stronger effect size, and in fact, comparing that condition to others is within the reach of your resources. Because frankly, when we're pulling effect combinations out of the literature and we're trying to estimate effect sizes for them, very often we end up conservatively underestimating the size of that effect, and that leads us to overestimate the sample size that we need. And so I always try to find enough resources to run the pilot study to include the conditions that I really, really care about. If the effect is big enough to care about, I recommend you go try and get the data from that condition in a pilot study, see what your best effect size estimate is, and make a better informed decision of how much you're going to invest in it. Yes?
And this is X and T, correct? The reason why I ask is because...
I don't know what the phrase means.
This is beforehand?
Oh, yeah, a priori, yeah. Okay. So okay.
This is a priori, not X plus.
Right.
Because the reason why I ask is because if in... very rarely do I ever come across a study where N is equal to subjects over 2.
Right.
Where little n is.
Yeah.
And so, like, if your little n is not equal to S over 2, you just take the smaller cell size?
No, you jack it up to big N and take it back down to little n yourself. Because we're talking about averages, aggregates. You can, for the pairwise comparisons, play games like this condition is going to generate it's going to be part of pairwise comparisons that are going to be small, so I'm going to jack up the sample size in that one condition. And that will help with your pairwise chi-squares. But in the simple situation where you're working towards at least thinking about equal n, the best way to estimate it is like this. Because, again, If you can get the information together, get the sample size together for the smallest effect, you're going to have enough for the others, no matter how that N trades out. Great question.
Cal, can you talk through the whole study?
Yeah, sure. All right, so I got three things that I care about here. Four, actually. Number of conditions, right? Total number of people in the study, number of people in each condition. That's what we usually think about. That's what's in calculations of the statistics. For power analyses, we're adding one more thing that we care about. The number of people in the two conditions of the pairwise comparison that we're looking at, the effect size and power for. Bad grammar, good idea. All right? So, I've got a three-condition study. And this, those are my pairwise effect sizes, either based on some form of estimation. So, if I've got enough power for the smallest effect size, I've got enough power for the other two as well. So that's the one I'm going to work with. So I'm going to go to the power table with an R of 0.25 and 80% power, and it tells me you need 120 people for those two conditions, which means you're going to have 60 people in each of those two conditions. But I need to know the sample size for the whole study, which has three conditions. That should be a three. That's
okay.
That should be a three.
Okay. Got it.
How long? Yeah. Yeah, that. No, no. I really like the number 60. I try to use it whenever I can.